Well, good morning, everyone. It's just nice to be here in a little silence. I don't know how much time you're spending in quiet, but the Lord does say, be still and know that I am God. And it seems to me that the busier we get, the more activities are going on. Particularly, we look at the young kids. I don't think they can go 10 seconds without having some kind of stimulus to their brain. And part of that's not so bad, but it's not all good, is it? Because we need to listen to God. We got a great prayer in the Bible this morning, a great prayer. And if you read it, it's less than a minute. I don't think our prayers have to be long drawn out. I can just imagine there's times when the Lord, I'm praying to him and he's saying, when are you going to be quiet? Are you just going to yak all day long? So may we respond to the Spirit this morning in prayer, and may we try to limit our prayers until everybody has a chance to pray before we go around to our, repeating different things. But I do want to close in song today. It seems like our worship services generally begin with worship in the beginning and a little at the end, but not too much. But today we'll see the response that Israel was required to do in this great battle against the invading forces of Ammon and Moab and Seir was to pray and then to praise. And when they begin to praise the Lord is when the Lord defeated the enemy. So I think praise is really important, and it seems to me that one of the messages that comes through in the scripture is when we have a problem, and there will be nobody without problems. One of the pillars of our faith is the just shall live by faith. And what does that mean? It means that God is going to continually put you in a position where you don't know what's going to happen. Why? So you trust him. So you rely on faith. Because when you see all things that are going to occur, you don't need any faith at all. So he says the just shall live by faith. And so when we have problems, I think what we need to do, of course, is turn to him, as in this case today Jehoshaphat did, and give our petitions to him and then leave it with him and then go to praise. We see praise and rejoicing such an important part in all of these great things that come together. You remember with Joel and the locusts. The Lord promised the restoring the 7 years of the locusts, but one of the key things in there was to rejoice. Habakkuk, what does he do after praying and then waiting on the Lord, and then the Lord is going to work and so forth? At the end, it's what? He's praising the Lord. He's singing to the Lord. Although the cattle are out of the stall and there's no olives on the tree, there's no grapes on the vine, there's nothing that you can see that has any value in it at all. It's all hopeless. And yet, we're to praise the Lord. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? That's not the flesh, is it? The flesh is saying, here's what I see. I see danger. Whoa, there's no hope. There's ISIS, there's ISIL, there's administration that's against Israel. There's all these problems. Oh, this is, woe is me. No, not woe is you. Woe is the enemy. They're all going down. God's going to take care of them. They're going to fall on their own swords because that's the natural way of that happens to the wicked. Turn, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The last couple of weeks we were talking about King Asa and about how he turned to the Lord and face of the million man invasion from the Ethiopians and how God delivered Israel. And then after much later, about 20 years later, in his reign, after he had enjoyed peace and prosperity and gotten stronger and stronger, then a problem came up and we know he didn't go to the Lord, but he trusted in a treaty and woe from that treaty. And then we saw him dying and disease of the feet, and he did not turn to the Lord, but he turned to the physicians. Well, he dies, as we know. And then his son now, Jehoshaphat, is the next king in line in Judah, and that's who we will look at today. Jehoshaphat was a good king. He did so many things right. He had one weak streak in him through marriage. He got entangled with Ahab, the most wicked king of Israel, Ahab and Jezebel, that great couple. And he went up to call on Ahab, and Ahab talked him into going into Ramon Gilead to fight with him. And Ahab said, "Now you put on your royal robes, I'm not going to put on mine." And of course the Syrians said, "We want to just go after the king of Israel. We don't want to really fight really for anybody else." So they came after Jehoshaphat, but God protected him. And then Ahab, who didn't even have kingly robes on, somebody just shot an arrow and it came in and hit right between the joints of his armor, and he died. But other than that kind of weakness there, Jehoshaphat was really great. Well, time goes by. He puts in reforms. He sends judges around the nation of Judah to teach them. He builds strongholds. And then we see he puts in reforms. But we see in chapter 20 that God brings enemies upon Israel, at least the threat of enemies. And we read in verse 1, "It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon, and others with them besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat." These, of course, are the kind of sisters, brothers-in-law of Israel, but they were not kind. You remember when Israel came out of Egypt, they would not let them through the land, and they had to go around them. And it was a very difficult thing. And here these same people now are coming against Israel years later. So some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming up from Syria. They are in Hazazon Tamar," which is in Gedi. And many of you have been to Gedi who have been in Israel. And they come right up the valley up on into the backside of Jerusalem there from there. "And Jehoshaphat feared." I think any of you who have had a problem in life, and if any of you are here who haven't had a problem in life, I don't know where you've been, but you, if not, you will have. We're going to fear, aren't we? We're going to say, "Oh, what's happening? Lord, I don't understand this. I can't see you in it at all. What am I going to do?" Well, this is a good scripture to go to, because we see what Jehoshaphat did. He feared the Lord, and he what? Set himself to seek the Lord. That means to pray. Set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast through all the country. As I was reading this, I was just thinking about the difference in this approach and in our national setting today. We have danger all around us, don't we? Do you see anything about setting our hearts toward the Lord and praying and fasting, trusting in him? No, we're trying to get the name of Jesus Christ out of our military, right? Doing everything opposite to what we're supposed to do, pretty much, and other nations as well. But here he feared the Lord and set himself to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast. So he gathered together to ask help from the Lord. Isn't that a good thing to gather for? Not to ask wisdom from counselors of men, but to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Beautiful. Then he stands in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord, and he has this prayer. This prayer, if you read it, unless you really meditate on it, it will take you less than a minute to read. But here it is. "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you?" That's a pretty good description of the God we serve, isn't it? Who do you pray to when you pray? That's who we need to pray to. "Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever?" Again, a great ingredient in prayer, effective prayer, is standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God. Here he's standing on the covenant that God made with Abraham and his descendants. These are the descendants of Abraham praying. It says, "Did you not make this covenant with us forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, the people of Israel are honoring you." And now he quotes basically Solomon's prayer in the dedicatory prayer of the temple. "If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine," that pretty much includes it, doesn't it? "We will stand before this temple and in your presence," for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. So again, standing on the promises of God and standing on what has been prayed to God before, and now they bring up the problem. So they've addressed the Lord, they've acknowledged him, they're standing on his promise, and now they get to their problem. Now, is that the way you pray? Is that the way I pray? Or do we say, help, Lord! I just want to tell you about all my woes and how bad it is. And maybe you put in a little word in there, yeah, you're God, or something like that. But look at the preparation before they get into that personal petition here. And now, here's the problem. Here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. This is not just my problem. This is our nation's problem. Whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land. So, Lord, we're standing on your promise. They turned from them and did not destroy them, the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Now, here they are. How are they rewarding us? By coming to throw us out of our country. Is that what it says? Coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Notice the focus on the Lord all the way through. Verse 12, O our God, will you not judge them? Now look at this next statement. For we have no power. Is that not true? We don't have power to do anything, do we? Except to call on the name of the Lord. For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against it. And how true this is. Nor do we know what to do. Isn't that always the situation that the Lord will put us in so we trust him? If he gave us all the answers, we wouldn't need him, would we? Oh, Lord, I got this wired. No, you don't have it wired because you don't know what to do. The just shall live by faith in the Lord of knowing he knows what to do. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Oh, how beautiful that is. I don't know what to do, Lord, but my eyes are on you. And I've told you the problem. The Ammonites are invading, the Moabites are invading, or IRS is invading, or whatever's invading. I need your help, Lord. I don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. So that was his prayer. Then they all stood before the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord answered the prayer through Yahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, to the sons of Asaph in the midst. And he said, listen, all of you, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, or I tell you today, don't be afraid of this great problem you're facing or what is coming upon you. Why? He says, now we're after prayer and all, he says what? For the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle belongs to God. We're his children, right? Now he'll let us fight us. He'll let us fight our own battles if you want. But you'll be nothing but moaning and groaning with the outcome. And you'll be calling all your friends and saying, help, you won't believe what I'm going through. No, we probably don't believe what you're going through, but he knows and go to him, right? For the battle belongs to the Lord. Now, here's what you got to do. You got to go face the enemy. Oh, I don't want to face the enemy. You take care of the enemy. No, there's some things you got to do. Tomorrow, go down against them. You got to go after them. As you say, take your howitzers and your tanks and all this. No, this is a different battle this time. They will surely come. He's telling you where the enemy is. They will surely come up against the ascent of Ziz, and there you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Now listen to this. You will not need to fight in this battle, but position yourselves. You've got to go meet the enemy. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Does that remind you of anything? What did Moses tell the children of Israel before the Red Sea was parted? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What did Joshua and Caleb tell the children of Israel when they came back with the 12 tribes, 12 spies reporting and the 10 gave this horrible report and everybody freaked out? Joshua and Caleb said what? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Asa, Hezekiah, also we see quoting them, stand still and see what God will do. So I urge you in your prayers, after you presented it to the Lord, after you've done what he's asked you to do, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. So they still got to go face the enemy tomorrow. They got to do that. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord, ending the prayer with worship. Then the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up, what? To praise the Lord of God with voices loud and high. That's how they really ended that prayer session, with praising the Lord with voices loud and high. So, obedience. Now here's the obedient part. They rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Do you believe in the Lord? Do you believe the Lord's going to deliver you out of your problem after you give it to him? And you do what he tells you to do on an ongoing basis? And when Jehoshaphat had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord. Here's their part in the battle. They've been praying, now they're going to sing. And who should praise the beauty of holiness? What is the beauty of holiness? Beauty of holiness. If you don't have a good grasp on that, turn to Isaiah 35:8 and read the highway of holiness. No unclean person shall pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed. So they went out before the army, and here is their battle cry. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Isn't that great? Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushes against the enemy, and they were defeated. They came against each other and utterly killed each other. No one had escaped. Everyone was killed. They didn't fire a shot. They didn't fire an arrow, much as the 185,000 Assyrians killed with Hezekiah's time. They didn't fire a shot. The Lord took care of it. And now notice, now they're going to have a parade back into Jerusalem. They're going to spend 3 days gathering the spoil. It's so great. And on the fourth day, in verse 26, they assembled in the valley of Berakah. You know, Berakah means blessing. In the valley of blessings, there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Blessings until this day. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord, and the fear of God was on all the enemies. Father, we thank you for this great scripture. We thank you for your faithfulness, and Lord, help us to apply it to our lives. Lord, we thank you for the problems in our lives that force us to go to you. We know that you will cause us to have faith in you by putting us continually in situations where there's no way out, continually in situations where we see nothing but darkness and problems, but where faith in you gives us that victory. You who did not spare your son but freely gave him up for us all, how much more will you not freely also give us all things? To the cross, Lord. Help us to go to the cross to see your love for us. Yes. So take our eyes off of what we see and put them on what we don't see. The reality of you, Lord, is unseen. We know that all that we will see will pass away, but the things we don't see are eternal. And Lord, I believe you want to develop faith in us here on earth that will be used for billions, trillions, jillions of years through eternity, Lord. I think this is where we develop the faith. Because we will see all things clearly when we are in your presence. We won't need faith then. But how much will our understanding of you and our joy and our love for you be expanded through faith now? So, Lord, may we not run from it, but may we run to you. Lead us now in this time of prayer, in Jesus' mighty name.